Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Perfect Franchise Podcast, where we attempt to deconstruct best practices from some of the best performing franchise professionals out there. Today, we have two very special guests. We have Todd Miller and Mike Peterson from Garage Force. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Yeah, welcome. Glad to have you guys here. We appreciate it. Mike, I kind of want to start with you. You know, you're kind of at the head of Garage Force. So tell us a little bit about your background and how did you get involved in the garage flooring business?
Yeah, so my background is marketing. So I had a marketing business for about 10 years based out of Madison, Wisconsin. And in that business, you're propelled to success based on how good your clients are. So we had some really good clients in the automotive industry. Then one of our clients was Citadel Floors up in Minneapolis. I actually took a job and went to work for Citadel Floors and became their marketing director. So my entrance to the coding was actually as the marketing director for Citadel, which is the manufacturer for a lot of the coatings that we use. Citadel was purchased by Rust-Oleum. I just looked at my family and went, I don't want to go work for, you know, a big conglomerate down in the Chicago area. No offense to Chicago, but not where I wanted to move my family. So we just, you know, the same guy named Patrick Ilfrey owned both Citadel Floors and then he owned another company called Bulwark Coatings. So he had really both sides. He had the manufacturing and the installation side. So when Rust-Oleum, who's a manufacturer, purchased Citadel, I just made a deal with Patrick to take the installation side. I'd already done a lot of managerial responsibilities with that group. So then I took them and that's what became the springboard for Garage Force.
Wow, that's great. And then you didn't stop there. You then made it into a franchise. Why did you make it a franchise?
Well, it's one of those things that we always looked at. I mean, at the time when I was running Bulwark, we had jobs all over the country. And there's just a lot of logistical nightmares of sending crews down, you know, sending them from Minneapolis down to Washington, D.C. for a week. I mean, you have the blue collar workers, state of the city, a lot of those kind of nightlife issues. But then just the logistics of all the equipment, product, making sure everything's there. So we'd always kind of looked at, you know, how could we make this a regional business? And that was really the kind of the birth of it. At the same time, I had a friend at the Pentagon who was involved in an Army National Guard program for transitioning soldiers. And he came to me at the same point and said, hey, I see what you're doing. Could you make this really user-friendly for our veterans as they transition out of the military? So that's really how we got started, was with working closely with the Army National Guard as just a way, you know, for transitioning soldiers to, you know, buy their own business. And that kind of got our first iteration of the franchise, much different than what we're offering today, but it kind of got us down that line of franchising.
Let me ask you, let's back up a little bit. What exactly are the various services that you offer at Garage Force and that your franchisees are offering to the public?
Sure. Primarily, it's floor coatings, right? That is our claim to fame. It's what we were, the original non-epoxy flooring company. So really, our goal is to be the best floor coating installation team out there, using the best equipment, best practices. That's really what we're known for. Obviously our name is Garage Force. That's kind of the initial barrier of entry for our franchises into that space. But then it expands to, you know, beyond that. We do basements, we do patios, you know, front sidewalks, and then into commercial, everything from car dealerships, hair salons. So we do a lot of flooring. We also offer, you know, some storage solutions, primarily for the garage. We do a lot of cabinetry. Now we're into slat wall, those kind of things. As the trends of what they're willing to do in their garage and finish off that space, as that changes, we just, you know, offer some of those other systems that can help our franchisees make more money, bring in more revenue. And then, you know, we just, you know, our research shows people are spending money doing it. So we're already in there doing the floor. So we might as well do some of these other spaces.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. When there's things to be done around the house, my wife never looks at a guy like me with any confidence. So if you're not handy, can you be a franchisee of Garage Force? If you're not good, you know, you're just not too mechanically inclined?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing that's actually really great about GarageForce is, you know, when you look at the home services trades in general, you know, you start thinking about kind of these big burly guys doing construction work. That's really not who we are. Our equipment is really, really easy. And Todd can probably talk to it because his crews do it every single day. But, you know, our shop blasters, which are our prep machines, it's kind of like mowing a lawn, right? You just walk behind them. So that's really, not to get too far away from your question, but it doesn't take a really skilled individual, a real physically, you know, strong person to do the job. But that's also on the install side, right? Most of our franchise owners, you know, don't go out there and install floors. They're running the business. So they have to have an understanding of equipment and those kind of things, but they don't need to be, you know, an expert, you know, handyman, a grease monkey, anything like that. That's actually the most, and Todd can talk about it. You know, he lives on the business side of things where he doesn't go out there and install floors. He just manages people and just runs a business. Just the fact that, you know, we're so much more than a floor coating company. It's just, that's what we do. But we're a technology company. We're a marketing company. We do all of those things that really the floor side of it is kind of the afterthought. Obviously it's what we sell. So it's a big deal, but as far as an ideal franchise owner, they don't have to have any capability to be handy at all.
Yeah. That's great. So Mike, I know obviously the garage is becoming that really important space where they've renovated the inside. Now they're looking for that opportunity to continue to expand into the garage space. And so there's competition in this space. What are you doing at GarageForce to stay competitive and stay above the competition?
I mean, we just want to make sure we have, you know, the best products at a very reasonable price. And, you know, we are the experts, right? We're very large national brand. So when we go into communities for a new franchisee, it's you know, there's kind of two sides of it. So for a new franchisee, it's really easy for them to gain brand recognition because we have such a national presence. You know, we are the experts. We are the original non-epoxy coating company. And then our existing franchises like Todd, as they get, you know, more and more jobs, they are just known, you know, in all of Todd's area. He is the floor coating expert, whether that be garages, restaurants, anything like that. And he can probably speak to it. As you get that ball rolling, it's really easy to, you know, people understand, you know, what we're offering. And then a big part of our core values as a company is just how to treat people. One thing that you'll find in the home services industry, and again, Todd can talk to this, people are just really, they're conditioned to be mistreated by contractors. So we go out of our way to make sure that, you know, we are courteous. We are, you know, just even things like we don't have music playing with the F-bomb blaring every word in the suburbs, right? Just we want to make sure we're very conscientious about the user experience because we know who our customers are. They're, you know, typically suburban, you know, 50 and older. So just doing things and treating people the right way. What we've actually found in our marketing is when we get a lot of reviews from customers, and most of it isn't even about the end product. Like, there's a psychology to the homeowner that when they pay, you know, for something to be done, they just expect that to be good, which they have every right to. But what they're really impressed by with GarageForce and crews like Todd's crews is they're really impressed when you go the extra mile, when you're, you know, you clean up after yourself, you know, there's no smoking on our job sites, there's no cigarette butts in the landscaping. All of those things are just little, and they sound cliche, but it makes a real difference as you're building a name in the community. And then obviously your work has to speak for itself. So we don't cut corners on products. We're always staying on the cutting edge of products. Those kind of things keep us well out in front of our competition.
Yeah. And now I know you have some changes coming in 2023. And what are those changes and how's that going to benefit your franchisees?
Yeah, 2024.
2024, sorry. Yeah, already there.
So yeah, we've got a lot of exciting announcements. You know, we've expanded, like I mentioned, the cabinet line, and then we've actually really expanded that. So now we're bringing on another cabinet line that's specifically made for us, where it's not really a DIY one size fits all cabinet. It's more of a design the space, you know, with some really cool design tools that our franchisees can go out there and give them a really custom look. We just announced a slat wall, those kind of things. We have a new wall coating system that we're we're going to announce. Todd's been privileged to see that as one of our premier franchisees. But, you know, and those are really exciting because it's just more stuff. And Todd can talk to that about, you know, when you're out there, what you can offer. But on a really big change, we actually have been working for about a year and a half to develop a new product, right? We always want to stay premier and we never want to race to the bottom and just get on a price war. But we also, you know, we're just understanding that we wanted to have a lower cost alternative, right? Because, you know, there are budget-minded homeowners out there. So about a year and a half ago, we set out with the goal to have a lower cost product that would still, you know, warrant the Garage Force name and have a level of quality, almost like a roofer has a 15-year and a 30-year shingle, where people can choose it. So throughout that process, our number one goal was to see the price go down, and then, you know, just see how far we can stretch that quality. What we actually ended up doing was inventing a whole new technology. So again, we are the guys that brought polyurea to the market. Now we have a cyclospartic, which is beyond polyurea, polyaspartic. Todd's been, his crews have been on our test team for this for quite some time, and we're really excited about it because we've cut the price of the base coat down about 25% and the top coat down about 30%, 30 to 35%. And the quality is like nothing else in the industry. So we're really excited that actually announced yesterday. So we've got our first orders of that product, not on the test phase, on the actual launch going out the door today. So people are really excited about that. So that's really a game changer. We've always been kind of trendsetters in the industry. And now with this, and it's not just a new mixture, it's literally at a molecular level, giving it so much more bonding.
That's great. That's great. Having that proprietary product is really important. And then if you're able to lower the cost, I'm sure that benefits both the customer as well as your franchisees.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's really our goal, right? Is we want to make sure that we can give them a premier product. You know, we have to think about the end user being able to have it fit in their budget, all that, but also mm-hmm. our franchisees, making sure that they can continue to grow. And I think this is going to really expand franchisees to hire more people, you know, and just continue to grow their business because they have more money on the back end to reinvest in their business. And it's not just going to product.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's really great. You know, when Mike, one of the other questions that we really wanted to hit on, in addition to everything you have going on, all the new things in 2024 is, I know that you have this, you know, desire to see more people be semi-absentee owners and that you believe in that. Can you give us some thoughts on semi-absentee ownership and some of that of starting the franchise semi-absentee as well as transitioning into that? What is Garage's right. thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that really our history did start off as owner-operators, right? Like I mentioned, our military guys coming out, they were essentially buying themselves a job, right? Their entry-level entrepreneurship. What we found is, over the years, you know, we just did a lot of reflecting of what is the difference between a really successful franchisee and somebody who's still successful, but maybe not doing the volume that they could. They're still taking on money for the family, but they're just, you know, there's more customers out there than they're able to get to. So, you know, really when you start looking in the semi-absentee model, it works really good. And Todd can talk about how he runs his business, but it gives them a lot more flexibility. So what we tell people all the time is have a plan, right? You know, there's the hard part about any business, Garage Force, is if you just don't have benchmarks set and you don't have those triggers set that at this point I got to get another crew, at this point I got to hire another person, you know, then you're always kind of behind and you're just, you know, filling out jobs. You know, we have a lot of people, you know, I'll start getting calls, next month. Yeah, tomorrow's March. You know, and people will start bragging about, yeah, my schedule's booked up till September. I look at that and say, if your schedule's booked up till September, you're losing jobs. Yeah. You know, you're just, people aren't going to wait that long. So, definitely. You know, really our job as a franchisor, I say it all the time, is just to help people accomplish their goals. And what we've learned is everybody has a different definition of happiness. You know, we have guys like Todd. Todd would not be happy just looking at his calendar going, I'm full for the rest of the year. Todd looks at things and goes, how can I multiply? How can I do more? You know, I did 11 jobs last week. How can I do 22 jobs next week? So those are all the things that we, you know, we constantly look at. And really what that comes into is you can't do that as an owner-operator. As an owner-operator, we're all limited by the calendar, the time. You know, we can only do so much. And, you know, that's where we find a lot of success with our semi-absentee franchisees who have people in place to do to do those jobs. So it's really been successful. We've had a lot of guys doing success at it. And Todd is, you know, here with me because he's really kind of the poster child. Not to call you a child, Todd, but he's the one that really propelled that. And he's done a lot of work with us to make sure that that's feasible. And he's had explosive growths and doing some pretty impressive numbers.
Well, thank you, Mike. And that's a perfect segue to start talking to Todd. We haven't forgotten about you, Todd. So you are a franchisee of Garage Force, a multi-unit franchisee of Garage Force. So wanted to start at the beginning. What was your background before Garage Force? How did you end up getting into Garage Force? Tell us about that.
Well, I started when I was young. I worked construction for a couple years, worked for a very successful company, and realized if I really wanted to get ahead, I needed to have my own business. I was only going to go as far as they allowed me to go. So I moved to Seattle, started a couple companies out there in construction, was very successful. Didn't have a lot of experience, like a lot of franchisees that come in this. I didn't have a lot of experience coming into business, but I had some good guidance. And I think that's one of the things Garage Force offers, is they've got a great program to guide people to help them achieve their goals. And that was one of the things that attracted me to Garage Force, is they had that support system there. So after quite a few years in construction, I ended up looking for another opportunity and that I could grow a little bit bigger, and I got into the vending business. I actually do the vending in malls in 8 states. We have thousands and thousands of accounts. But like a lot of things, it had a time that was great to get in and a time to look to transition into something else. And vending is one of those businesses that we were looking to transition out of. But I was very successful in it, and I wanted to look for a company that I felt I could grow with and be very successful there. So I met Mike, got to know him, met a lot of franchisees. I wanted to talk to them, see how they had done in the business, what kind of feedback were they getting from the customers, especially customers that they had done years before. Were they still happy with the company? And everything I heard was incredibly positive. So I decided to purchase 2 franchises. I purchased a franchise in Wisconsin and another one in Minnesota. And from there, I was really looking to get involved with something I could grow. I liked the idea that, you know, father-son could do this, or 2 friends could do this and be owner-operators. And I thought that was great. But I was really looking to take it to that next level. At my age, I don't want to be an owner-operator. I want to be able to be a part of helping others achieve their goals. And that was what really attracted me to Garage Force, is I saw a way here to work with Mike with his support and put together a program in which we could expand this across the United States, helping others to be incredibly successful. And we spent a great deal of time working on that, getting the pieces basically of the puzzle put together. And then we started to launch this a couple years ago. And like Mike has mentioned, we've had explosive growth since then. But at the same time, we're very careful not to get ahead of ourselves. So we spend a great deal of time with our structure, getting the right people in place. And that way we're not taking 3 steps ahead and 2 steps backwards. We've been very consistent. I can say for a fact, every office we've opened is incredibly successful and are continuing to grow at this time. So we've had a great deal of success there.
Let me ask you, now you have territory spanning quite a distance, right? So what are the keys, or what would you tell somebody that's never managed people from a distance or built teams before? What are the keys to being a successful semi-absentee franchise owner, especially in the home services?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I would say a very wise person told me once, he said, you can either work in your business or you can run your business. And I found that I needed to step back from working in the business as far as like on the installs and different things to be able to have the adequate time to be able to oversee and manage the business and make sure that I had people in place to be able to, you know, that had the experience and the training to do their jobs. And we've had great success there. We've got a network of some very qualified individuals. We found, though, too, with a lot of our best people, they didn't come into this with previous experience, but they're very teachable. And because we have a program in place to teach them what they need to know to be successful in their role, they've done exactly that. They've been very successful. We consider what we have, we are a franchise, but we also are family oriented. We have a family owned business. And we make our make sure that each and every employee we have with our company feels part of that family. They're just not just a number. Their success is important to us. We put together a program which has unlimited opportunities for them to grow with the company. Doesn't matter where they start. They have an opportunity because we are growing. It continually creates opportunities for them to be able to move up if they're willing to put the time and effort in and get the training and the experience they need to move to the next level. And that's helped us grow greatly because in each location we have in each office, we seem to always have somebody there that would like to, I'd like to be an office manager. You know, what does that look like? How can I do that? What do I need to do to get the experience to do that? And then we have a plan ahead, like Mike talked about. We have areas tagged that we're going into next, positions that are going to be available to them. And we continually have people wanting to work up to be able to attain those positions.
Wow, that's great. So Todd, you obviously started out, and I think, I don't know if that's as common to have two territories in different states. And so you cross that state line right away. Did you have managers in two different states, or did you have one manager working both of those territories?
No, that's a great question. I would have only started in one territory if it would have just been myself. But I have a son that's worked with me ever since he was 6 years old. He learned to work hard when he was real young, and he was living in Minnesota at the time, and I was living in Alma, Wisconsin, so he was west of the cities of Minnesota. So because he had some previous experience and I could work directly with him, we chose to have him run the Minnesota franchise, which then I worked on the franchise in Wisconsin. So that's why we started with two. I wouldn't recommend that in most cases. Mm-hmm. I would start with one and grow it from there, so you have that solid base. I just had a unique situation where I had a son that was qualified.
So play that scenario out. What if you started just in one state? You would have a general manager over multiple zip codes. What do you think the best case scenario would be to really start at semi-absentee in one particular area?
We have a very structured business. We have installers. A install trailer is going to have two people. It'll have a crew leader who's responsible to make sure the trailer is set up, the supplies are there, everything is there to go do the job. He's the customer's contact. He's going to deal with a customer, make sure the customer is satisfied, make sure there's great communication there with them. And then the installer is somebody that is, you know, has been with us for a while. He's very experienced. He's going to help install the, you know, the coating on the garage or whatever it may be. And then we have we have a gentleman that'll basically bounce between two trailers. So a seasoned officer's office for us would have then two trailers with two people, two crew leaders, two installers. And then we have a manager that's going to bounce between the two trailers. There, if we have a bigger job, say a 3-car, 4-car garage, then that person would be then over on that with that trailer on that job, and he'll bounce back and forth. He's really the support for both of those crews. Then we have an office manager. An office manager makes sure that everything is getting taken care of on that end of it, from the finances to the bookkeeping to inventory. That person takes care of all of that. Now, when we initially start, we don't have necessarily the cash flow to do all that. So we will literally bring in the person that we feel could be the office manager. He'll come in as a crew leader. So he'll actually be on the job, doing the jobs, learning, because I'm a big believer you can't teach what you don't know. You need to be on the job, understand the job, every part of it. Then as the one trailer gets up and running, is doing real well, then we'll start that second trailer, and he then will bounce over to that second trailer. The first installer can move up to be the crew leader on that trailer, and then we get our second trailer up and running that way. Eventually, one of those two crew leaders is going to be experienced enough to basically to manage over the two trailers. Thus, that initial person now has moved up again if he's qualified to do it. and he'll move up then to be an office manager. Up until we have an office manager, well, that would be somebody like myself. I'll oversee it, make sure everything is getting done. But the goal is to always replace ourselves. If we're if we're a crew leader, we want to replace ourselves and be a manager over two trailers. If we're that manager, we want to be able then to move up to be an office manager. Not that everybody has the experience or wants to move up. We have gentlemen, people with our company that absolutely just love to install. They think it's the best job they've ever had. They enjoy it. It's not like a lot of construction jobs that ruin your body. I would call this physical, but definitely not overwhelming. I mean, this is something a person can do for a long time. And we have people that they just want to stay in that position. They're just happy there. Once you're an office manager, then we have some office managers that see the opportunity and the bigger vision of our company here, and they see the opportunity that we could put offices in additional areas. So then we have a regional manager, and he works with us setting up that next office. And we have a complete training program that we have locally that we've actually worked with Mike on, as he has the initial training at Garage Force that they supply, which is fabulous. And between with the training that Mike offers and then the continued training that we offer, we're able then to expand into additional areas. Thus, right now, to give you an idea, we have three offices in Wisconsin where we started now, successful offices. We have two offices in Minnesota. We have two offices in Iowa that are all successful. And this year we are in the process of setting up three more offices this year.
Wow. Wow, that's impressive growth. Well, Todd, it's been incredibly insightful to kind of understand what happens behind the scenes for somebody who's in a home service franchise and growing it aggressively, but still not too fast, right? I know I have just one more question. I'll turn it over to Andrea, but going back to Mike, you mentioned the trend of the industry where, to put it in my words, garages just are no longer the dusty, crusty, cold places where you just store your stuff, right? And they're really becoming the man caves of this generation. Is that a fad? Like, how do you project where this is going? And you've talked about so much about how you're staying in front of it, but how do you predict where it's going and how much opportunity there really is over the next 5, 10, 20 years?
Yeah, Todd and I talk about this all the time, because one thing we do is communicate with our franchisees of what they're seeing out there. And it's really just kind of the tip of the iceberg in the garage space. Everybody kind of knows, the joke is, we don't even use our front door. My dog hears the doorbell run, he runs to the garage door, right? Because we have a doorbell out there, and that's really the entrance to your home. That's where, most people access it. What we're really finding is, even just how socialization is happening, right? We know our customers, they're in the suburbs, primarily, and it's not the big mansions. It's just the regular, ranch houses, the cookie cutter neighborhoods. I joke that it's the houses that you've driven around the neighborhood. You don't know if you pass the same house three times. That's where we do a lot of work. It's just, people don't anymore invite people over and grill out on their deck. I'll be driving around neighborhoods, and that's where you see even conversations happening, because a lot of those are just impromptu. Somebody's out walking their dog and they see one of their neighbors who become their friends, and they're standing in their garage talking. And then you go down the next house and there's, two guys on a bike just standing in the garage. That's where a lot of, it just kind of seems like everybody's getting busier, so they don't schedule the come over, we'll grill out, we'll throw steaks on the grill and hang out on the deck. It's really that garage is the space that people congregate. And people are putting more money into it. They're finishing it off. And, one of the things that I joke about this personally, and our franchisees hear me say it, is, back when I was the marketing director at Citadel, we talked about customers, and we had this, misconception, but at our time it was our conception of, it's the car guy, it's the mansions on the hill. That's really not the case, right? I am the car guy. That's my hobby. My wife doesn't understand why I want to drive a 55-year-old Mustang around. She doesn't get that. what she likes about our garage floor, didn't care how it looks. She likes that, you know, the kids could run out in their socks when they were growing up and it can be clean. And it's just kind of that mentality is it's not even a garage anymore. It's just an extension of your home. It's like a giant entryway where your cars live. And, you know, so finishing those off, and, you know, we've seen that, you know, post COVID, people just investing in their homes and constantly trying to fix them up. Prior to COVID, the trend was people would fix up their house to sell it, which we're all probably guilty of. But now it's, you know, what can we do? And I was talking to somebody today from the Boston area, a prospective franchisee, and, you know, he just noticed that in his own research of, you know, there's no more land. So people are just finishing off every square foot, you know, and out on the East Coast, they're starting to see trends of people turning portions of the garage into offices to work from. So there's just a lot of different use for that space. It's just different than our parents' garages. You know, it's just the rest of the house is finished. Why wouldn't we want this finished too? And Todd can probably talk about that. I mean, he's out there in his crews every single day and just seeing the trends of how people are using our product to finish off their space.
Yeah. If I could add one thing there, Mike, one of the things that's the hardest thing when you want to start your own business is to try to find something that has an entry level in it. Most things we look at, they're the saturated businesses. You know, if I wanted to have a carpet store, there's a carpet store in every corner in most town. You know, they're everywhere. Every house has got carpet, you know, that's out there already. And this is one of those things that's very difficult to find when you're looking to either buy a franchise or start a business. How do you find a business that's at the entry level? And that was one of the things that really attracted me to this is an entry level opportunity in a phenomenal industry. And that is incredibly difficult to find. And then once you find it, are you going to get the support that you need to be successful? Because just because it's a good industry and a good opportunity doesn't mean without the support and help that you're going to be successful. So to have that backing, you know, I can say from experience, I've been self-employed most of my working life. I could have done this on my own. I chose not to because I understand the importance of having the backing of a company that understands the industry, has the right product, is on the leading edge of new products. And all those things, without that, it's very difficult to be successful in a company.
No, I think that's great. I mean, you know, Mike, Todd, this has really been a great conversation. I think we've learned a lot of insights today, and it's really the type of conversation that kind of deepens our understanding of not only franchise, but the home service industry and specifically the garage space, which I agree with you, really is sort of that growing space. I can't wait to do our garage. And I think just that, you know, touching on the home service as a semi-absentee model, that's provided, I think, both our listeners as well as Chris and I a lot of insights. We've learned a lot today. And I think, you know, for those of you that are listening, if you're considering franchising as a potential path to business ownership, remember, there's no one size fits all that suits everybody. Even so, there's certainly a franchise out there that's the perfect match for you. To explore options and find the perfect match, please visit us at theperfectfranchise.com. By clicking on Let's Talk, you can schedule time to speak with one of the consultants on our team. We look forward to connecting with you again in our next episode. Until then, take care.